The Medallion, Chapter 45. With the medallion gone, Kate had a stronger connection to her body and had listened in to Mara and the High Priest plotting their next moves. Since they did not find the medallion on her, they were certain Jorid must have it. Mara had used her contacts in Rosan to discover that the leader of the rebels had been told about the medallions and was offering to trade Tirith for a medallion. They decided to act quickly and take advantage of Kate's resemblance to Tirith and stage Tirith's death. Then the High Priest was going to let Jorid know that it was Kate who had died and that they were buying time to find a medallion to save Tirith. The High Priest and Mara were sure Jorid would fall for it and give up his medallion. After they stole Jorid's medallion, Mara promised the High Priest that she knew of someone who could make sure Tirith would never return from Rosan. A presence drew near, but Kate could not tell if it was in the chamber or by her body in Kadir. "Hello?" she whispered. A rustle of fabric announced that the old man had returned. His lisping voice slipped in through the darkness.
"Did you call me?"
"Can you turn the lights on? I don't like being in the dark."
"We won't need them until Corvin arrives, and I am quite used to the dark. Besides, who needs a light when you carry the master medallion?"
The green glow shone out along with a guttural chuckle. Kate looked at the light washing up over his face. His veil was gone, and as he laughed, a mottled blue tongue worked in a mouth lined with black teeth. At the sight of his rotten smile, her stomach churned. The blue-veined eyes that had terrified her on her last trip to the Corps drew near, and she turned her face away from him. "If you wanted the medallion so bad, why didn't you just take it from me the last time I was here?"
"I wanted you to bring Corvin to me."
A chill ran down Kate's spine. "Why do you need Corvin?"
"Because that boy is the only one who can tell me where the hammer and the scepter are hidden. All three are needed if I am to rule the Corps again and create more of the lifelight."
"Why should Corvin help you?" A low chuckle echoed off the walls of the chamber.
"Oh, he shouldn't, but he will."
"Why? What will you do to him?"
"He will help me of his own free will."
"Why would he do that?"
"Guilt, loyalty, fear, whatever motivates him. Everyone has emotions that can be used against them, and this boy has a lot of strong ones, for he has failed miserably by eating the seeds. He has barely escaped becoming Rakesh, and he has betrayed his friends. He even abandoned you to run after Tirith. This boy is so bound up in guilt, he will do anything to redeem himself."
Kate fell silent. The pain of Corvin leaving her for someone else cut deeply, but he was not doing it intentionally to hurt her. The old man could try to manipulate him, but she wouldn't be part of that plan. No matter what Corvin felt for Tirith or Atea, she would not make him feel guilty for it. She could choose to forgive him and let him go. The thought brought tears to her eyes and an aching void to her heart. Letting Corvin go felt like she was letting go of her only hope for ever finding someone to love her.
"What are you thinking about?"
the lisping voice snapped. "How it can hurt when you love someone."
"It always hurts. That is what loving does to you. It's a waste of time."
A brief note of longing in his voice caught Kate's attention. "You must have been young once. Wasn't there someone you cared for back then?" He didn't reply. "Did you love her?" Kate asked.
"Love is meaningless."
His voice went cold.
"All we get is a base physical attraction that feels like love, but in the end, each person is left on their own."
"But wasn't there someone who—"
"I had a counterpart, but she is gone."
"Did you have any children?"
"My offspring betrayed me."
"Did you have any grandchildren?" There was a long pause.
"There was two, but the boy was no good, just like his backstabbing father."
"And the girl, your granddaughter, were you close to her?" Groaning, he got up from the stool.
"This conversation tires me. You might as well rest and wait for Corvin to find you."
Kate listened to his labored breathing as he shuffled out of the room. If the old man truly believed that love didn't exist, and if he was staying alive only because he was so afraid of dying, he would do anything to make Corvin bring him the hammer and the scepter. And he wouldn't care if she died to make that happen. She had to try and connect to where her body was and see what more she could learn about Corvin. She reached out, and immediately there was a sensation of a warm hand holding her own and a soft voice. It was Corvin. He was talking to her and running his fingers through her hair.
"What has happened to you?"
The old man's voice pierced the darkness and severed the connection to Corvin.
"Your form is full of light. Has Corvin found your body? Bring him to me," the man commanded.
Kate gave her head a shake and turned her face to the wall. Corvin must stay away from the chamber and this horrible man.
"Bring him to me,"
the voice hissed in her ear, and a shaft of intense pain shot through her. Kate clenched her teeth. She wouldn't let him hurt Corvin. The pain fell away as Kate felt Corvin's lips touch her own.
"Bring him now."
His words were accompanied by fresh waves of agony that forced the words from her lips. "Help me, Corvin!" The pain abated, and a cold hand patted her cheek.
"Good girl. Now we just need to wait for him to come to us."